the bothy. Come on, shouldn't be much further now. With those hopeful words, Steve chivied his hiking companion Stuart, who was lagging well behind. Really, the man's tortoise pace was getting to him. They were known as the two S's, Steve and Stuart. They always hiked together, never with anyone else. They would go off several times a year, usually trying to find something more challenging, more remote each time. Perversely, and now increasingly, they chose the worst times of year to hike. Asked why, Steve's reply was, "It adds spice." Steve and Stuart liked to think they were tougher than the others in their Essex climbing and hiking club. Essex, of course, being mostly flat or flattish, didn't offer much in the way of climbs, so the two S's headed for peaks in Scotland, preferably, or Wales. They scorned Ireland and hadn't yet ventured abroad to find some real mountains. One day, maybe. Stuart was feeling the effort. His calf and thigh muscles felt on fire. It was a steep climb and more than usually rocky underfoot. The weather was closing in, mist drifting up from the valley, cutting visibility, erasing the hills around. It would soon be dark. "How much further?" Almost gasping now. "You said not much half an hour ago. I don't see any bothy. A fat chance, though, of seeing it in this mist." He'd had enough. It was always Steve who made the final decision about where to go and what to climb, overruling any of Stuart's suggestions. Steve was getting more bossy and selfish by the day. Stuart knew that if they didn't get there soon, he'd just have to stop and rest, something the two S's never did until they'd reached their goal.
There it is, just over that rise, see?
Steve's voice came through the fog. It had swallowed him up. Steve wasn't going to say so, but he was as relieved as Stuart to see the bothy. It didn't look much of a building, more a pile of stones with a moss-covered roof, if you could even call it a roof. They'd met an old man in a pub some way back, and he'd told them of it. He was dressed in rather odd-looking, old-fashioned clothes. Grubby, too, not been washed in a while. Not that that mattered. What did was what he told them when they said they were looking for somewhere isolated for the night, a place to themselves. They didn't want to share with other snoring hikers who'd no doubt stink of rancid sweat and unwashed feet, which they themselves did. "Oh, you'll find it's just the place. Interesting. Remote. I guarantee you'll have it to yourselves." Sounded perfect. "You'll not find anywhere more isolated or atmospheric in the whole Scottish Highlands," he'd added. "Ha, isolated, all right. Atmospheric, if you liked moss and green mould and rotten, worm-eaten woodwork. But it was shelter." "Cheer up, Stuart. There should be some wood. You've got the matches and the firelights. I've got the whiskey and the mugs. Come on, we'll be fine soon." Dumping his heavy rucksack on the dirt floor, Steve pulled out a bottle of fine malt whiskey and two battered tin mugs. Stuart was peering into a corner of the little bothy, muttering to himself, "I've had it, and I've had it with him." Out loud, he said, "Can't find much wood for a fire here. Pretty useless stuff. I don't like this place. Feels creepy." "Oh, you can be a real old woman at times, you know. Buck up. Bit of a drink and some of that Kendall mint cake and we'll be fine. Only one night here, then off tomorrow to Foynarvon. Should be an easy walk." "That's what you said about this walk. I'm knackered. And this place is weird. I don't like it." "Well, tough. This is it for tonight. I'm not walking anywhere on this peak in the dark, and nor are you. Just think of those drops and the bogs. We'd be in them before we saw them." Steve shivered at the thought. "Plus, there's no other shelter for miles. This is it. You wanted remote, remember? So get a grip. Stop moaning. Hey, we've a reputation to think of, right? The two tough S's." Steve wasn't going to admit it, but he felt the same about the bothy. It had an atmosphere, one he didn't like. What was that expression? Make your skin crawl? Well, it did that all right, and him, the big, tough man of the club. He shook his head, took a big, warming mouthful of whiskey, banished the sense of unease.
The elixir of the gods it was, whiskey, especially to two tired and cold hikers. The smell of Stuart's unwashed feet reached his nose, cancelling out the aroma of fine malt. Really, sometimes he thought he could strangle his hiking friend. Did he never wash his feet? Probably not. He sighed. Was it the smell or the whiskey? Something had set off one of those weird, spaced-out, tingling sensations he'd been getting recently. Kind of as if his brain didn't belong to him, but to someone else. Don't think about it, it'll pass, he told himself, pulling out his sleeping bag. Something scuttled out, vanished, under the hearth before he could see what it was. Totally harmless, surely, but made him jump. This place was getting to him. Somehow, even with damp wood, Stuart had managed to coax a small fire into life. The two men stretched frozen fingers towards it. Stuart had lit a couple of candles. The two men liked it tough. None of this namby-pamby high-tech camping stuff for them. Keep it simple. That was their rule. "Say, Steve, maybe late November wasn't such a great time for a hike like this?" Stuart blew on the fire. Not that it made much difference. It still smouldered and smoked, making them cough. "Yeah, I know. We'll go earlier next year, when the weather's better." But Steve didn't think he wanted another remote hike with Stuart. Time to part company? The two S's might become the one S soon. Outside, the wind was picking up. It poked chill fingers through the gaps in the crumbling hut stonework, and there were plenty of gaps. It didn't look as if anyone ever bothered to do any repairs here, or anything, in fact. Even the mouldering pile of firewood looked years old. Maybe some high-tech heating kit wouldn't be so sissy-ish after all. He'd think about it. "Here, Steve, where's that grub, then?" "I don't know. You brought it." "I haven't got it." "Don't tell me you forgot that stuff we bought, you idiot." "Well, it's just whiskey, then, and that mint cake. You do have that?" "Yeah. Here, have some." The bothy seemed to have affected the mint cake. It tasted odd, old, and mouldy. Not like the familiar stuff they loved at all. Never mind, thought Steve. At least it was something to eat, and he was ravenous. "I'm turning in," he said, and pulled himself into his sleeping bag, wearing everything but his hiking boots. It was cold. Somehow colder in the bothy than outside, which wasn't right. Colder than it should have been, since they did have a fire going, feeble though it was. Steve lay there. Sleep eluded him. But not Stuart. He could sleep anywhere, it seemed, and he was sound asleep now, snoring fit to bring down the ancient and rather shaky-looking rafters above. For a moment, Steve thought they were actually moving, pressing down on him. A stupid thought. They couldn't do that. At some point, fatigue proved stronger than the sound of Stuart's snores, and Steve slept. It must have been irritation with Stuart that brought on a series of bad dreams, violent dreams. He never had those normally. He dreamt some nameless thing came up behind him and was trying to suffocate him, and then that he fled in fear and was lost on this remote mountain. He woke with a start. He must have slept some hours, for dim daylight was struggling through the grime on the windows and round the dilapidated door. Time to get out of this place, and fast. It was nasty and cold and damp, and anywhere had to be better than staying in here, especially with little food and no fire. Just a few hours, and they'd get themselves to the nearest village and pub, and to hell with hiking the Highlands in November. "Hey, Stuart man, get up. Wake up. I want to get out of here now. Right now. It's too cold and awful here. That man who told us this place was worth stopping in was raving." He shook Stuart. Stuart was always a deep sleeper and could take some waking. No response. He shook him again, roughly. Still nothing. He grabbed his sleeping bag, yanked it off him. What he saw filled him with horror. Stuart was not going to wake, ever. His face was puffed and suffused with blood. His eyes bulged. His nose had bled, soaking into his sleeping bag. And round his neck were signs of the human hands that had choked the life from him. Steve shot back, terrified, heart thumping. There was no one else there. They were completely alone. So how could someone have come, unseen and unheard, in the night, and done this terrible thing? His hands shook violently. He glanced down, saw dried blood on them. The dreadful truth dawned. His dreams had not been dreams at all. It was not some nameless being that had come up behind him and choked him, Steve. He himself had been that thing. It was he who had killed Stuart. He panicked. He had to get out of there, fast. Snatching up his rucksack, he lurched out of the door and ran. But the mist was thicker now, a living creature, malevolent, enfolding him in a wet embrace. He could see nothing, not even the chasm that opened up before him. A while later, a search party found the two men. Stuart was easy. The smell gave him away. He lay stretched out among some moss-covered rocks, on a sodden and bloodied sleeping bag, the ashes from a long-dead fire close by. A foolish place to camp, the rescuers thought, out in the open in November. Steve, lying shattered at the foot of a cliff, was not found until a while later. Curiously, no one knew of a Bothy in this spot. It wasn't on any known map. But one day, in a guidebook to the Highlands dated 1750, someone found a rough drawing of a stone hut in that very place. It was marked with the sign of the cross and the words, "An evil place, to be avoided. Some years back, so they say, a man strangled his companion here." I reproduce the building as I was told it appeared. It no longer exists. Inside the flyleaf was a portrait of the author. It was odd, but he looked just like the man in the pub who knew of the Bothy. But only two hikers had seen or spoken to him, and they were dead.